Okay, so let's look into this and let's dig into this. I've been preaching a series on parables, the parables of Jesus, and this is the fourth one we've dealt with. Each one has unveiled some really powerful and amazing things. So let's look at this. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken. In my Bible, I have liken bolded, underlined, because it's a grammar thing. It's a literature thing. If you see liken, you know we're coming into a comparison. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will, bold underline, be like, coming to a comparison, a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Can we say amen? So it's very, very simple parable here. There's a wise man who builds a house on a great foundation. There's an unwise man, a foolish man, who builds his house on an unstable foundation. Rain and wind come, storms beat. The man who has a good foundation lasts. Rain, storm, winds come. The man who's built on a faulty foundation fails. Right? Simple enough. What's Jesus really talking about? Well, if you notice, he says this. I'm using these guys as an illustration of the person who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Who hears and does. It's not just enough to hear. You've got to combine doing with hearing. All right? It's not enough to just hear. You have to hear, and then you have to obey. Brian and Heather, hearing the voice of the Lord. Go to New York. There's probably been a lot of people heard that voice, but they didn't go sell home, get an RV, give it all for Jesus, and go do it. This is a quiet Pentecostal church in here right now. Y'all can say amen anytime, or you can even say, oh me, if I hit you right between the eyes, all right? My grandpa used to do that in church. His preacher was named Brother Love. And when Brother Love would say something that hit my grandpa, he'd just say, you got me! Absolute truth. So, hearing and doing are combined, right? You must hear and you must follow. So if we look at the context, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are called the Sermon on the Mount. They're called the Sermon on the Mount. And I was going to say the Beatitudes. They include the Beatitudes, but the whole thing is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a sermon Jesus gave, guess where? On a mountain. I've been there many times in Israel. If you go with us to Israel, you'll see it on the Sea of Galilee. We go to the place where we think he gave the Sermon on the Mount. And I've said this many times. I think the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest body of ethical religious teaching that there is known to man. I really think so. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 contain, I believe, the greatest content for how to live one's life, as you will find. It's better than Confucius and his Analects, right? It's better than Muhammad and the Quran. It's better than Dr. Phil. Let me get down to where we're at here. It's better than Oprah. It's the greatest teaching known to man, I think. You read those chapters, absolutely phenomenal. And then after he preached all that, and said all of those things, then at the end he came down and said, now, if you hear these words of mine and do them, you'll be like a wise person. After I've taught all of this stuff, if you hear it and actually go from here and do these things, you'll be a wise person. You will be wise. If you don't, You're going to be like the foolish person. And then he gave an illustration that I think really deal with foundation. Okay? Foundations are important. Amen? One of the first thing we did when we went to Edenton and purchased this property that we've been talking about that's going to become a campus church for us, the first thing we did is we sent someone down there to crawl through the foundation and inspect it. See what it looks like. Is there damage? Is it unstable? Are there faulty things underneath the house or underneath the church? Because if so, then we have major problems and it may be a no-go. When I purchased my home, one of the first things I did was got a builder out of this church to go with me and said, hey, would you go look at my house? Because you know more what you're looking at than I do. So guess what? We looked at the way the crawl space looked and how they had laid the boards, and then we went to the top to see the attic and how it was constructed. Amen? Foundations are important. Years ago, I come from a coal mining area in Virginia, and a lot of coal mines there. There's even mines that we call shaft mines that go down 1700 feet under the earth's surface. They go down in an elevator and mine. And a lot of people in my hometown started noticing that their houses were cracking. Even my brother-in-law had this happen. His house was cracking. Well, found out that the houses were cracking that were over one certain mine that was using a certain type of mining, where the, you know, called longwall mining, where they would just pull pillars and pull the hydraulic jacks out and the top just fall. And a lot of people's houses started cracking underneath that because something way down there wasn't right. Well, you know, in the Christian faith, you need to have your foundations set in your life. And I believe your foundation needs to be Jesus. I believe it needs to be founded in a church. I need it to be founded under authority. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have a knowledge of the Scripture somehow, get into the teachings of the Bible. And you need to have some Christian friends. You need to be doing something for the Lord. And you need to be constantly growing in your faith. Those are proper foundations. I got a little unhinged in the 9 o'clock, and I might in this service too, because I start thinking about this, I get fired up. I look on Facebook or Instagram, and I see all the time people who came out of this church that are no longer living for the Lord, or grew up in our youth group, or came out of our children's ministry, and now they're living completely a life in the world. And man, I'm ticked off. Not at them, but at the devil. At the whole system. I'm like, come on, man. What's the deal? Jesus is coming. It's urgent. This isn't a laid-back situation we're in. Jesus is coming. The world's coming to an end. The nations are rumbling. God's prophetic calendar is moving. And I don't preach on that a lot. I'm not like an end-time preacher, really, but I will preach it, bless God. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe Revelation that. Well, I don't care how you believe it. All I know is we could go to war with Iran tonight, and Russia could come into it tomorrow, and we're in World War III looking at the book of Revelation by next week. And looking for Jesus to come in by Friday afternoon. I don't know. I'm telling you, it's that close. You said, well, it doesn't feel that close. No, because Jesus said when he comes back, people are going to be sitting back on their laurels, thinking it's peace and safety and everything's all right. But then in an unexpected moment, suddenly the Son of Man is going to come, he said. He said people will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It means they're going to be going about life as they normally do. And then when it's unexpected, he's coming as a thief in the night. Get your house in order and get your foundations right. Get out of the world. Get in church under authority. Not in 10 churches. I'm sick of church hoppers. Another sermon. That's just avoiding authority. I'm going to preach back here for a while. Come on. Foundation has to be laid. Foundation has to be laid. Get out of the bars. Get out of relationships that are ungodly. Stop living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Stop watching things you shouldn't be watching. Turn off the doggone computer and the TV and get sanctified and live right. Get your family in church. It's more important than anything else that's going on in this world right now. Come on. Holiness is real. Isaiah said, I saw a highway and it was a highway called holiness and no unclean thing walks there. Come on, you got to be blood bought. You got to be sanctified. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the power of God. Get the foundation right and you're going to stand. Come on, somebody, give him a shout. I'm going to bring back an old word that I never hear preached anymore, and it's a word called backslide. Never hear it anymore because no one's backsliding anymore. Everyone's saved. Like I heard this weekend, major church in America. One of their people said, hey, we're going to get our party on Saturday night, man, clubbing. And then I'm going Sunday to get my praise on. I don't know what. You're clubbing Saturday night and getting your... I'm telling you, if the church was full of the Holy Ghost conviction, they couldn't sit in that. You couldn't sit in it. Or like I heard on TV, God forgive me in Jesus' name. I've repented so I can say this. Certain program was on. And a girl said, I've had sex with men out of wedlock. And my Jesus still loves me. I thought, no, you're stupid. See, the new thing is I can sin with no consequence. I can sin with no guilt. There's no reparation. There's no retribution. There's nothing that's coming because we're always saved and everybody's saved. And I raised my hand in church. No, listen. He said, he who continues to be righteous is the one who's righteous. Jesus said, I'm coming and I'm judging you according to your works. Once saved, always saved. Unbiblical, not Bible theology. It's a contrived doctrine of men. I'm telling you, and calling an election, I believe in it, but not where you're called and everything else. You can do anything you want to. Unbiblical, never was in the historic foundations of the church, never in the early church fathers. I'll argue with any scholar over it. It came in later to appease man. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there is a righteous God, and he has a righteous arm, and there is a righteous judgment coming, and there is a Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he's saying, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you need to get right with God. Get the foundation right because storms are coming, rains are coming, winds are coming, disappointments coming, judgments coming. Come on, there are going to be people talk about you. It's all coming. Get your foundation right. I don't have a rope this morning, but the closest thing I have to a rope is a guitar cable. It happened years ago in the Midwest, but I read a book recently about a Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Fantastic book, by the way. And he talked about how we need to have our life anchored with some sort of devotional connection to God. If I'm your praying and if I'm your Bible and I'm all you're getting, that's not enough. You got to get on your own. You got to get in the Word on your own. You got to get in prayer on your own. You got to have a life where you're connected to God. I can't be your salvation for you. I'm here as a guide and I'm here as a voice. And sometimes I go home and I think, why did I preach that hard? But you know what, man? I see so much and it gets me stirred up. It gets me stirred up. Come on, I want to make it to heaven and I want to see every one of you there. Everybody. And I don't want you coming up to me and saying, hey, Hans, you never told me about this. So in the Midwest years ago, farmers would, you know, endure blizzards, right? And some of them, huge. I mean, I have family that lives in the state of Iowa, and to hear them talk about some of the snows they've been through is absolutely amazing. And they're, you know, they come out of that farming culture. So there were farmers who lost their lives during blizzards walking from the house to the barn to go feed the animals. So they learned to tether a rope. So they tie a rope at the house somewhere and tie it up and then make their way to the barn in a blizzard and go feed the livestock, and then once they were finished, find their way back home. Well, let me make this spiritual this morning. This rope is the relationship you have with the Lord. It's a prayer life. It's a love for the Scripture. It's a love for His church. It's a love for His people. If you have that, then storms are going to come. Because I can guarantee you storms are coming to your life. Whether it's disappointment or it's rejection or it's criticism or it's death or it's some of you been through divorce, some of you been in jail, some of y'all been broke, you've done, hallelujah. Whatever comes your way, if you're tethered to the right relationship, no matter how far that storm blows you off course, you're always going to remain and you're always going to come back home. But the problem with people is they get out there and they let it go because they see something enticing. They get hooked up in the wrong relationship. Or they go after the wrong pursuit in life. Or maybe money becomes their new thing they're anchored to. Or their profession becomes their new thing they're anchored to. Or even their clout or their degree or their pedigree becomes a new thing they're anchored to. And then somewhere along the line, a storm's coming. And a storm comes and hits them. And then they wake up and they want help, but they realize the rope that they were tethered to has been severed. Because they didn't count it important enough to stay connected to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I went somewhere recently and someone said, oh yeah, that's my pastor. And I thought, hey, praise God, man. I haven't seen you in about 3 years. Forgive me, Jesus. This is inside my mind and it gets scary sometimes. Where's your anchor? Are you tethered? Are you connected? Come on, some of us feel that about Jesus, you know. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, man, I was baptized when I was a young boy. And since then, I'm a Christian. My grandma's a founding member of that Fountain of Life church. Good for grandma. She's with Jesus now. Where are you? Well, I'm thinking about grandma. Well, you can't go to heaven because of grandma. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You got to get in here and become a child of God yourself. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on. I was raised in Sunday school. Praise God. I've got all the pins. Praise the Lord. They're doing no good with you out honky-tonking and not in church. But I meddled enough. Y'all know I love you, right? I've meddled enough. Now I'm going to get, and I'm going to bring you out of this. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, glory to God. How do you become a wise person? Martin Lloyd-Jones said three things about this passage. He said three things about this passage, that these are descriptions of a fool. And so I've just reversed them and said, well, let's not be a fool and let's be wise. So how do we be wise? Number one, we don't take shortcuts to get quick results. A fool takes shortcuts to get quick results. But I guarantee you black tape's going to work. All the men understand what I'm talking about. We can splice this one. And all the men in the house said, amen. We'll take a shortcut and get... No, that's the way of a fool. The way of a wise person is they don't take shortcuts, especially in their family, in their walk with the Lord. They really do the right thing and walk it out the long way. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Number two, a wise person doesn't think their ideas are best. Because a fool thinks his ideas are best all the time. Why? Because he's a know-it-all. But a wise man takes time to develop the foundation of every endeavor. He digs deep. He digs into it deep. I think it's an issue we have in the church today. We have really shallow Christians. It's all about emotion, man. It's all about, I could go into that. It's another sermon. Number three, the wise man thinks things all the way through and not just partially through. He thinks them all the way through to the end. Jesus said, who goes out and builds a building and doesn't first consider the cost of that building and doesn't consider all the material required and everything necessary to make sure that building is going to happen and that building is going to be secure? This is what a wise man does. He thinks it all the way through to get the proper results. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And if you do that, you become built on a solid foundation. Let me give you four things that I just felt were appropriate for today. I said these at the beginning of last year. I'm going to say them right now again. How can you get your foundation straight? Number one, make the Word of God and prayer a top priority in your life. Make the Word of God and prayer a top priority in your life. Don't just pray when disaster comes. Pray before disaster comes. Don't just read the Bible when you got to have a word, a quick word. No, you can get in trouble that way. Because you go looking for a word, you're going to find a word. But you study the Bible and become a student of Scripture. And then you're going to stand. First thing. Also, get on fire and get around anointed people and anointed things. Get around anointed people and anointed things. What am I talking about? Well, you have friends who are dragging you down. Praise God you have those as friends. You need to be witnessing to them. But if you stay around them, you're going to be down to where they are. Get around some anointed people, some people with some fire and some faith. Witness to the others. Hang out with the people who are anointed. I like to hang out with anointed people. Amen. Some of my friends, I just thank God I have great friends, just anointed people to hang out with, man. We talk about revival. We talk about healing. We talk about the presence of the Lord. We talk about what God's doing overseas. That's our conversations. Amen? Get around anointed things. Brian and Heather gave you here's a CD on healing. Get that anointed thing in your life. Get it in your life. Start believing it. Start praying that. Start listening. Come on, that's an anointed thing. Get some anointed podcasts. They are out there. I started listening to them as I started working out. True story. I walk and turn on some Holy Ghost preaching. Amen? Walk and turn on some podcasts that teach me something. Listening to something. Getting deep with something. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Make room for the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Make room for the operation of the Holy Spirit. Open wide open, man, to the moving of the Spirit in your life. Grow deeper. Determine. I'm going to push, Pastor. I'm going to push to be deeper in the Spirit. I'm going to push to be a person that's listening for the voice of the Spirit, that I'm trying to hear God, that I'm getting prophetic words. I'm ministering to people in Walmart. Come on, be that person that you say, I'm going to grow deeper in the things of the Spirit. You say, well, we live in a really secular age. Yeah, true, but do you know in America there's been an explosion? Just saw an LA Times article on this the other day. There's been an explosion of witchcraft in America. And people are not hiding it anymore. It's right open. Get a word from a witch. Burn some candles. Go see a palm reader who isn't prospering, because they got the most ratchet house in the wrong side of the city. Why? Because it's infested with demons and they are not blessed. Why hang out with that? Don't hang out with some blessed people. Hang out with some people that can give you a word from heaven, man. You want a word? Come on, let's pray. It may take till midnight, but God's going to speak to you and God's going to give you exactly what you need. My gosh, I was with Ted Shuttlesworth back in April, and he wanted me to sit in and play some guitar with him, and I did, and in his camp meeting, man, he gave me a word that blew me out of the water. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It was for me. But I knew he was on the money. Man, that man spoke, and I was like, God has some prophets in the land. Read 2 Kings, what we've been into. Huh? Here comes Elijah. Here comes Elisha. God's anointed these guys, and God's up, and we all wrestled with, why did the bear come out and kill the kids? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home, read your Bible. Or why did Elijah call fire down on those people that was sent from the king? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home, get in the Bible. Because we think God dumb everything down for everybody and spoon feed everybody in church. That's the church growth method now. And I understand that. And I try to make my stuff simple. But you know what? Years ago, I went to a Taekwondo class. Y'all know what Taekwondo is? It's like karate, right? It's Korean karate. But I went to the Taekwondo class, and it were all Koreans who spoke very little English as instructors. And they came and tried to help me. This first move. Jingguan Changqing. Okay. This next move. Chang Ching Guan Chang. What about the seeker sensitive version, brother? No, they wanted you to jump in their culture and jump in at their level. And they had black belts in the class so you could see how it's actually done. I've thought about this a lot. I think church needs to be like that. You jump in, there's some black belts in the Holy Ghost out here, been praying about 50 years and know a whole lot more than you do. There's some men out here so deep in the Word, it'd blow your mind. But they don't speak very much. Why? Because God's developed humility in them over 50 and 60 years. There's some people been attending this church over 70 years under authority and leadership and are unbelievable people. Hop in with these guys. Come on, get in. Learn the language. Learn the language of church. Learn the language of this experience. Three amens. I'm just going to go on to the next thing. And I said at the beginning of last year, then forgive everybody. Because some of you are carrying offenses, and it's hindering you from worship. It's hindering you from moving into the depths of the Spirit. And it's hindering you from hearing what God is saying to you. Amen? It's hindering you. Just let it go. Just let it go. You say, yeah, but what if this... I don't care what that person is saying, what their reaction... That's not your deal. You forgive and let that person go. Oh... Jesus went to the Jairus' home, and there's this whole big crowd here. Unbelievers making a lot of noise. She's died. Jesus comes in and says, well, actually, she's not dead. What are you, a fool? Get out of here. We're having church the way we want it. Sad, depressed, and lack of faith. Mama's not dead. Only asleep. That's my music, so I can make fun of it, all right? Jesus says, hey, make way. You guys stay on the outside. I'm going in by myself. And he went in and he went to that dead girl. And he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she opened her eyes. Breath came back into her lungs. And he lifted her up. Some people can only go so far with you because they can't walk at the next level that you're going to. Okay, that was a bigger revelation than you caught right there. I'm telling you, have you ever been there? I mean, this applies in many different levels, but there's some people not seeing what you're seeing right now. And you love them, you'll always be friends, but you got to go to the next. They're going to stay in that. You got to go to this because your foundation, you're tethered to something stronger. Okay. Let's all stand. Man, I know I've preached. Somebody said, Pastor, it's like someone shook you up and popped the top this morning. But I want you to make it. I want you to make it. I want you to make it. I want you to have a strong foundation. Wind comes. Storms come. Life comes. You call us. We're all going to be praying. But you know what? You're so strong, you're walking by yourself through that thing. You can get a little support. You need a little support every now and then, but you're so strong, you've already overcome that storm before it ever comes. You're already a victor over before it ever comes. How many knows we get bad storms here in northeastern North Carolina? I grew up in the mountains, knew nothing about this. We were sheltered from everything, never knew of a tornado ever. Do I remember a tornado warning, watch, any? Never. Moved down here. I live in an open field. No trees. I see the storms coming from Elizabeth City. And one thing I've learned is the front end of that storm is usually the worst. Because it's, oh my gosh, we're getting into something here. Because it's pushing against another atmospheric thing. And it comes in and there's an initial, we were driving to Raleigh Thursday evening. And on our way to Raleigh, we saw bad storms, hail, this, that, and the other. We got to one point around Greenville, and all of a sudden, all we saw was a dust cloud, and Jackie's, ah, what is that? She doesn't wait around. She just gets right into it. I said, you know what? Hold on. It's just dust coming off the field. But the wind's so strong, it's making it look like a tornado here in front of us. So I pulled off, got gas, a couple things to drink, and by the time I got back in my car, it was over. There's a spiritual message somewhere in this. Satan wants you to fear. He wants you to fear. And wants you to fear, and then that thing comes in, and that storm comes in, and it seems like it's going to wreck you, but then you realize, hey, I'm still standing. This thing, it collided with my culture, the season I'm in, but you know what? It's over, and I'm standing. But if you don't have an anchor, you're not going to stand. One more story, and I promise I'm going to close. So since I wasn't used to living in these flatlands, I bought my daughters a trampoline. And I put it in the backyard. And someone along the line told me I should anchor it. But I heard them, but I didn't do what they said. So I'm home alone one day, and I'm looking out a back sliding glass window, and I see a storm coming from Elizabeth City across the water, and that front end is coming. And I'm like, wow, it's going to be bad. Then all of a sudden I thought, oh no, it's going to be real bad. And it lifts that trampoline up, and all of a sudden, it comes right at me, and bam! It busted the framing of the door, but thank God didn't break the glass. No more trampolines at my house, in Jesus' name. But I did learn the importance of anchoring something down. Come on, hallelujah. Some of y'all going through some stuff and you have no anchor. We're going to get that right now. Amen. Come on, lift your hands with me. Father, we love you and we bless you. And God, I thank you, Lord. Let my anchor be strong. Let it be where it's supposed to be. Let my life be grounded on a strong foundation today, God, in Jesus' name. And Father, I give you praise for what you're doing. Hallelujah. And God, I thank you, Lord, for those who are on unsure foundation today. God, I pray you open up their hearts and open up their minds, God, and let them receive your good word into good soil in their hearts in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise right now for doing it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.